the Great American Fiasco, talking soccer, in case you're wondering which fiasco. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods were first explored, then proposed. Today, President Trump is expected to approve import penalties on $50 billion worth of Chinese goods. China has promised to respond. Marketplace's Jennifer Pack is in Shanghai. What's expected on the U.S. tariff list today, Jennifer?
We could see medical equipment, machine tools, chemicals, TVs, and auto parts on the list. And this is on top of the existing tariffs the U.S. imposes on Chinese steel, aluminum, solar panels, and washers. China's response so far has been to appear it's compromising by cutting tariffs on a number of foreign imports and opened its markets further to its lucrative auto and financial services sectors. Although many critics say the impact of these measures are not as wide and doesn't go as far as the U.S. wants. At the same time, there have been high-level trade talks between the two countries, but China says any agreements made so far will be void if the U.S. imposes any more punitive measures. And China says it will retaliate on American planes, beef, whiskey, and most importantly, soybeans.
Jennifer, thank you. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue will be in Canada today to meet with his counterpart, Lawrence McAuley. Last weekend's G7 summit in Canada ended in a tweet storm with Canada's prime minister leaving the U.S. president offended. But the USDA wants you to know this visit was planned weeks ago. Marketplace's Andy Euler has that.
The U.S. and Canada enjoy the second largest bilateral trading relationship in the world, and $47 billion of that's in agriculture. Roger Johnson is president of the U.S. National Farmers Union. Johnson's up for any renegotiation that gets his farmers a better deal, but thinks President Trump's approach is all wrong.
Listen, there are lots of things that this administration is trying to change that we very much agree with. We just think he's going about it in such a destructive fashion.
If the trade relationship between Canada and the U.S. were significantly damaged, never mind today's friendly visit, farmers in both countries would suffer. But Canada can better fill the gap, says Carlo Dade, a trade expert with the Canada West Foundation.
We'll be more competitive around the Pacific Rim. We'll be more competitive in Europe. This is why I think Sonny Perdue's up here. There's a realization that in agriculture, we really have to work this out.
Canadian consumers are tweeting back. Hashtag boycott USA and buy Canadian are already trending throughout the country. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Let us do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down, minus 0.6% for the Dow future. Interest rates, the 10-year yield is down at 2.92%. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. World Cup soccer, second day today. France versus Australia, Argentina, Iceland, Peru, Denmark, Croatia, Nigeria, USA versus nobody. The Americans didn't qualify for this World Cup. Kind of conjures the ghost of a World Cup 20 years ago. You may know soccer commentator Roger Bennett from Men in Blazers on NBC. He's got a new podcast produced by public station WNYC about the U.S. team in 1998. Podcast is called American Fiasco. Roger, glad to finally connect.
David, it is an honor to be with you.
We'll get to the famous 1998 problem in just a second, but let's go 4 years earlier. 1994, the U.S. hosts the World Cup in this country, and it works out well, doesn't it?
Before the World Cup, it was almost impossible to make a professional living as a soccer player in the country. There was no domestic league, very few European teams trusted American talent. The World Cup changed everything, changed lives. They were suddenly on cereal boxes. Hollywood agents were swooping around. An NFL team tried to pluck the goalkeeper and make him a kicker. Suddenly, you could make a professional career and then some.
Sport notices, athletes notice, advertisers, networks notice. So 4 years from then, the next World Cup, the U.S. is really going to rock. So what? The engines of commerce really start turning at that point.
Absolutely. Not just for the soccer players, but the whole soccer industry. You could suddenly make a job as a journalist, as a coach, in the back office. There were hundreds and hundreds of people entering this new industry, American soccer. Your players were like, in 1994, we showed the world we could belong. What are we going to do in the next World Cup? They charged into the 1998 World Cup, in which they were drawn to play Iran. And instead of collective play, which had got them through 1994, the economic self-interest just destroyed that team. They came dead last, scored one goal, humiliated themselves with the nation, with the world watching, and their narrative was more, it was still American, David, but it was more kind of like Scarface meets Apocalypse Now.
Now, look, in professional sports, in all sports, you win some and you lose some, but you regard what happened in 1998 to the U.S. team as, at some level, self-inflicted?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were undone by success, by self-interest. They failed to continue to evolve. They kept feeling there was an entitlement amongst the team about the old veterans that would play. They didn't replace them. They burnt the sport down and had to wait for the women a year later in 1999 when they won the World Cup to redeem the sport in the eyes of the American audience.
Yeah, because the women do win the next year. This time around, we got another World Cup here. The U.S. men's team did not qualify, did it?
History repeats itself. The U.S. with a mix of some of the same work culture issues, the same kind of American attitude of not knowing what you don't know.
Sports writer Roger Bennett is host of a podcast about the 1994 U.S. soccer disaster called American Fiasco. Roger, thank you for this.
Oh, David, thank you for having me on. And I still believe America are going to win the 2018 World Cup. Believe.
Right. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Jake Gorski. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.